Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, everyone. And this morning, we are heading into the great hint. It's hint number 3 coming from J.C. Ryle from his great little book, The Duties of Parents. Now, this hint number 3 really impresses upon each and every one of us how important our work with children is, and that it cannot be taken lightly. Here it is. Hint number 3. Train your children with an abiding persuasion on your mind that much depends on you, which means we should always and forever have that idea running through our mind that so much depends on us when it comes to the training of our children. We are the most important people in their life. We will have the greatest impression upon them. So doesn't it make sense that we should take some time to think about, to learn of a way to train them? Good for you if you are tuning in again today. It means you care. You care about the job that you're doing for your children. Now, J.C. Ryle, we're on page 6 in our little booklet. And if you don't have the booklet or the download, just listen along. It's very apparent, his opening message. He makes it clear there are 2 forces that will be affecting us as we work with our children. The first one is a most positive force, and it's called grace. Grace is the strongest of all principles. Now, grace, let's talk just for a minute about grace. We hear that word thrown around. People have written songs about grace. They've written poems about grace. But what really is grace? Well, grace is the free love and affection and favor that is sent down to us right straight from the heart of God. Once you put your faith and trust in him, and he sees that, he sees that you love his son Jesus, that you want that spirit abiding within you, oh, he showers you with his love and great blessings. That's called grace. and it makes me so inquisitive about the early founding fathers of our church, Grace Church. What must they have been thinking about and delighting in when they named our church way back in 1874, Grace Church? Oh, they must have been so aware of that love and favor sent down to all of us from God above. Well, J.C. Ryle lets us know it's the strongest of all principles. And then he talks about in that opening paragraph that grace can actually start a revolution in many different places. Let's look at what he says here. Well, it can come into the heart of an old sinner and make change. It's strong enough to change the heart of an old sinner. It can overturn the strongholds of Satan. Now, we have an enemy, and his name is Satan, and he will try to influence parents and grandparents and all of us who are working with children to the best of his power. But grace alone can overturn the strongholds that he tries to set up. Grace can cast down mountains, fill up valleys, make crooked things straight, and new creates the whole man. It will make you whole. And truly, nothing is impossible to grace. Oh, I love that paragraph. Read it over and over. It will bless your heart. But then in the second paragraph, we do see that there is another force in nature. It's the human nature. Remember when J.C. Ryle talked about that natural bend to evil, that bias that we all have, that children are born with toward doing evil? Well, that is that human nature, and it is also very strong, and it will struggle against the things of the kingdom of God. It will fight against every attempt that you will make to try to be more holy, and it will keep up an unceasing warfare within us until the last hour of our life. Nature also is very strong, but don't you forget, grace is the strongest of all. You rely on God, you get on your knees and you pray for the strength and the grace and the mercy and the favor to remember that much depends on you. After that nature and grace, the next paragraph lets us know that after those two forces, there is nothing more powerful than education. Early habits are everything with us under God. And we are made what we are by our training, the education given us, and our character, says J.C. Ryle, will take the form of that mold into which our first years are cast. Now, he goes on here in the bottom paragraph and right over to the top of the next page to make it clear that children will depend, we depend in a vast measure upon those who will bring us up, and we acquire from them many things. We get from them a color, a taste, a bias, which clings to us more or less all of our lives. We will catch the language of our nurses and our mothers, our babysitters, and we will learn to speak it almost insensibly. And time will show, if we go down toward the bottom of page 6, time will show, says J.C. Ryle, how much we all owe to those earliest impressions and how many things in us as adults we can trace back to the seeds that are sown in the earliest days of our infancy. In fact, I used to learn in many of my classes that I took as I strove to learn about teaching children that those first 3 years of parenting and teaching are the most impressionable. And they, whatever seeds are sown in those first 3 years, have a very lasting effect on the child. And if there are bad seeds sown, those are very difficult to unsow and to change in the child. And it is only the work of God that can do that. We'll try, but God will do it. Now, on page 7, we find out that God will actually arrange our children's lives and minds to receive this education that we are to give them. And let's see how he does that. In the first full paragraph there, it says, all this is one of God's merciful arrangements for education. And look at what it says. I love this. He gives your children a mind that will receive impressions like moist clay. Oh, they are just ready, taught, and molded. And that is arranged by God himself. He gives them a disposition at the starting point of life to believe what you tell them and to take for granted what you advise them. They just believe it. They take for granted that it is right and true. And they will trust your word rather than a stranger's. Oh, those little ones look to you for everything. They trust you. They hang on to your every word. They look at it as truth. They receive it as truth. And they will trust every word that rolls off your lips. In fact, says J.C. Ryle, he gives you, in short, straight from God, a golden opportunity. Highlight that. Notice it. It is a golden opportunity of doing them good. See that opportunity, be not neglected. Don't let it pass you by. Let it not be neglected nor thrown away. Once you let it slip, gone forever. Oh, see that much depends upon you. Take advantage of those early years and train your children with that silver thread of love that we learned about yesterday. Now, in the next paragraph, right there in the middle of page 7, J.C. Ryle also gives a warning. And he says, you beware of that miserable delusion that some parents have fallen under, that parents can do nothing for their children. Do not ever feel helpless and leave them alone and wait for grace and just sit still. Because these persons he likens to those who have wishes for their children in Balaam's fashion. Now, you may not be familiar with Balaam, but Balaam is talked about, if you want to read about this, in the book in the Bible called Numbers, and specifically in chapters 22 through 24. And let me just tell you all you need to know. Balaam was a diviner. He was dabbling in the occult. He was not turning to God for his help and his wisdom. He was dabbling for natural, the dark supernatural. He was a diviner. And he practiced in the occult rather than God. And listen, we can do nothing when we start venturing into that area. The Bible in many places warns us, stay away from that. Run from that. You only make your journey to the God of heaven for your wisdom. We must do what we do, God's. Of course, J.C. Ryle goes on that many parents would like their children to die the death of a righteous man, but they do nothing to make them live the life of a righteous man. They desire much and have nothing. And believe me, the devil, the enemy of our own souls, delights to see us thinking in that way. Never, ever forget, you are not helpless when it comes to training your children. You have a God who will help you. The God of heaven, the only God, the one true God. Rely on him through prayer and understanding. And then the last paragraph is one to really take notice of. J.C. Ryle says, I know that you cannot convert your child. I know well that they who are born again are born not of the will of man, not because we want them to be, but of God. And I know also, says Ryle, that God says expressly, train up a child in the way he should go. He never laid a command on a man which he would not give man grace to perform. Grace, there's that grace. And I know too that our duty is not to stand still and dispute. We're not going to argue about this. God's way is the highway. It is the only way. Go forward and obey, says J.C. Ryle. It is just in the going forward that God will meet us. God will meet us and help us. The path of obedience is the way in which he gives the blessing. When he sees you obeying his word, oh, he meets you on the path of obedience, and he blesses you. And then I love this very ending, and I'm going to read it word for word, because he likens all of us to those who witnessed the first miracle of Jesus in Cana. Listen to this. We have only to do as the servant, and you will do right by God. Those servants were commanded at the marriage feast in Cana to fill the water pots with water. And we may safely leave it to the Lord to turn that water into wine. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you would give us the strength to know that much depends on each one of us. Oh, Lord, let us not fall short. Let us be your faith servants. Let us walk the path of obedience. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you will meet us there. We know we can't do it alone, but with you, with God, all things are possible. And I pray it this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen.